Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd be open to any Bible question or any Bible subject that you might have. So contact us by the address that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Also, we want to remind you that this being the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the church at East Abbotville, because of the coronavirus and the pandemic that's going on, as we all are very familiar with, we will have a drive-in service at 9:30 this morning. And then at 10:30, or not maybe necessarily 10:30 exactly, but maybe a quarter till 11, 10:45, you can go to our website and click on the live stream, and you will have what would normally be the sermon for this Sunday morning. That's on www.eastabbotville.org. Also, this evening at 5 o'clock, Brother Shane Pack will lead us in the Bible study that normally would have been conducted. That study is coming from the book of Romans. And if you click on the live feed, you can also find an outline of that study that you can print and have a hard copy of the things that he will be talking about on the program this evening at 5 o'clock. Again, that's on the website. Click on the live stream, and you can go to both the outline as well as watch Brother Shane Pack as he explains to us the things that are found in the chapter that he'll be studying in the book of Romans. Also, on tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, Bible Crossfire will occur, and that is a 30-minute live call-in radio program, an opportunity for you to call in a Bible question that you might have. Patrick Donahue will give you his phone number. You can call that number, speak to him directly, give him your Bible question, and in return, expect a Bible answer. That's on this radio station, WBSA, 8 o'clock this evening, 1300 on your AM dial, 93.5 on your FM. And if you're not able to pick up the radio station and have satellite radio capability, you can go to Sirius XM, channel 131, also at 8 o'clock Central Time, and listen to Bible Crossfire. You know, our greatest enemy lies to us. He assures us that every time we're tempted to do wrong, he tells us that we can sin and still win. The Bible says that he's a very real adversary. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus identifies that enemy as the devil. Notice what we read in Matthew chapter 13 as we begin our reading at verse 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And another thing that Jesus says concerning the devil, he calls him a murderer, and he calls him a liar. This we read in John chapter 8. Let's begin our reading here with verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." We see either Jesus himself was a great deceiver, or Satan is man's greatest enemy. You know, before Peter's denial of Jesus, Jesus warned him in Luke 22, verse 31, beginning, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have made supplication for thee, that thy faith fail not." You see, from this example, we can learn, number one, that Satan wants to overthrow us, and two, that he will work to get even the best disciples, and three, that he will try his many tricks to cause us to give in, and fourth, Christ can strengthen and aid us to overcome Satan. But Satan seeks an advantage over us. When Paul encouraged the Corinthians to do the right thing, notice what he said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, "That no advantage be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices." That word devices means that which is thought out in the mind, and it's referring to Satan's schemes, to his tricks, and to the tactics that he uses. In fact, there's a similar warning from the Apostle Paul found over in the letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he tells them to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, now when we think about how the devil seeks an advantage over us, we need to realize sometimes a person can have the advantage over us with superior skill or strength. Someone might take advantage over us either fairly or unfairly, or we just might give an opponent or an adversary the advantage over us. But see, the scriptures tells us the only way that Satan can gain the advantage over us is for us to give it to him. Paul warns us in Ephesians 4, verse 27, not to give place to the devil. You know, from Bible history, we can see how Satan was given the advantage over Eve. He beguiled and deceived Eve in the garden. We read about that in the New Testament account over in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 11, notice what we read in verse 4. It's not verse 4, but verse 3. For I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Cain gave the devil an advantage when he was moved to slay his brother. And John makes mention of this in 1 John chapter 3. Notice in verse 12. He says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." David gave in to Satan when Satan moved him to number the children of Israel. We read about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Job suffered the advantage that Satan gained against him. Peter and Judas both fell prey to the devil's deceitful tactics. Paul reported how that Satan hindered him in the work of the gospel on two occasions, but let's just read one of those in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. "Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." You know, we can rest assured that Satan is seeking an advantage over us. May we not be ignorant of his devices. And Satan seeks to devour us. Remember what we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8? Picture a roaring beast devouring his prey, and you've got the picture of how the devil seeks to bring us down. Again, Peter said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." See, his work is exactly the opposite of the good shepherd. It's in John chapter 10 that we read in verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." See, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And another thing about Satan and the things that we need to be familiar with about him. Satan is the instigator and he's the perpetrator of sin. The works of Satan, John tells us, are sin. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 8. "He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." And Jesus indicated his enemies of sin when he told them in John 8, verse 41, "You do the works of your father." And in verse 44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." See, the devil is the one who does all of the tempting. Remember there in Matthew chapter 4, at the temptation of Jesus? In verse 11, it says that after it was finished, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. But we are the ones who do the sinning when we let our lust conceive and we sin against God. Notice James 1, beginning and reading verses 14 and 15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." But let us too understand, Satan works through different mediums. He chose the subtle serpent. Remember, to work his deceit with Eve in the garden. We only have to go back to Genesis 3 and read that account. But most of the time, he works his error and his evil through false teachers and false prophets. In fact, both Jesus and Paul warned of false prophets who would come in what Jesus described as cheap clothing. Remember there in Matthew 7 and verse 15? And even when Paul was with the elders at Ephesus, Notice what he tells them in Acts chapter 20, there in verse 29, beginning to read. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." You remember in Acts 13, there was a man by the name of Elymas who sought to turn aside the proconsul, who was having faith in the things that Paul was preaching unto him. And remember what Paul called him in Acts 13, verse 10? "Thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness." And two, Paul warned about false apostles, false ministers, who would fashion themselves into ministers of light for the sole purpose of just deceiving. We read about this in 1 Corinthians, and let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's begin our reading with verse 13 and read through verse 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works." And yes, Satan can even work through God's own people. Peter spoke for him in tempting Jesus, causing the Lord to reply, do you remember in Matthew 16:21, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Judas did the job, we know, of betraying for the devil, after Satan put the thought in his heart. We read that in John chapter 13, there in verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Ananias lied for the devil in Acts 5. When Peter said to him in verse 3, "Satan, fill thy heart to lie." You see, Satan can and will often work among all of these, and so that makes us to realize that he also is capable of working among our loved ones, our family, and friends, or even our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why we're told in 1 John 4 and verse 11, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We read this a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 11, but I want to go over it again. Satan deceives and appears as righteous. In fact, the language of Christ and his apostles teaches us that Satan is able to deceive many people because of the methods and the tricks that he employs to lead so many people astray. He is really a wolf, but often appears in sheep's clothing, just like Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 15. And as we read in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, he can appear as an angel of light. Jesus said in Revelation 12, verse 9, that Satan standeth not in the truth. He is a liar and the father thereof. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. And Paul says this is the one in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. See, like the disciple that planted the kiss of deceit and betrayal on the cheek of our Lord, the devil's intent is to betray us by whatever means he can to overcome us. Another thing, Satan takes away the word of truth. We have a parable that Jesus gave of the sower, and it's in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, that in the parable of the sower, Jesus pictures how that the word does not find a receptive heart when it says, "Straightway cometh Satan and taketh away the word." See, the devil knows the power of the gospel. And not only does he have it preached falsely by his ministers, but he steals away the word from those that are careless, from those that are callous to the truth, for those that are indifferent toward the truth. He's not only the great murderer of souls, as John 8, verse 44 teaches, but he is also the great thief of truth, the great thief of sermons that are the truth. How strange that we would not allow someone to grab and to choke us without struggle, but so many complacently allow the evil one to choke the word out of their lives. But friends, Christ can help us overcome Satan. Satan is winning victory over many souls today. That's obvious. And it's obvious because they don't take him and his methods seriously. Many today do not even believe in the devil. What better way of deceiving as to believe that he doesn't exist? The devil has a wide door of opportunity there. And we find that Jesus believes that the devil is real. He wrestled against him and fought off his advances. And he spoke to him and said in Matthew 4, verse 10, "Get thee hence, Satan." Friends, because Christ took him seriously and fought against him, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4, verse 11, that the devil leaveth him. James tells us that we need to be subject, therefore, unto God. We need to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. James chapter 4, verse 7. An elderly lady came to the United States from Europe and desiring to be a citizen of this country, she studied and prepared herself for the day when she would be granted citizenship. When the day came for her to take her oath of allegiance, she was asked to raise her right hand. "Do you swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all of its enemies, domestic or foreign?" The little lady's face paled with fear and uncertainty as she said in a timid voice, "All by myself?" Friends, when we think about Paul's words describing our ongoing spiritual conflict, we need to tremble a little bit. Because what he wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 is this: "But we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." You know, just thinking about waging such a fight, that's enough to cause any humble Christian to tremble. But friends, we don't need to go into this battle alone. We do not go without the help of our God. As a part of God's army, we march side by side, and our Savior goes before. So let us be strong, as Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Let's just stop with what time we have left in our time to read Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So friends, let us put on the whole armor of God and stand to face our enemy. Let us always remember what the beloved apostle tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it is. Let us be aware and face the reality that there is Satan. There is the devil. And I hope that in the time that we've spent together today, we can understand what his mission is, and we can see, too, what his methods are to try and accomplish and make his mission a success. He's very successful. But let his success not include us. Let his success not include you and I. And again, let's remind you that the East Albable Church of Christ will have a drive-in service at 9:30 this morning. Then at 10:30, you can go to the website and there click on the live feed that will take you to YouTube, where I will be presenting what would normally be the sermon for this Sunday morning. We urge you to go online and listen to this sermon. Examine it with what the Bible teaches. Don't take it for what I say. Take it for what the Scripture says. If what I say is in harmony with the will of God, then accept it as it is in truth, the Word of God. Then at 5 o'clock this evening, again, log on to the website, click on the live feed, and it will take you to the YouTube channel where Brother Shane Pack will be engaging in the Bible study of Romans, the book of Romans, where he will be discussing the things that are contained therein. And on that live feed, you can click and receive a hard copy on your printer of the sermon, of the study outline that he will be using. And again, remember tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station or on satellite radio, channel 131, Bible Crossfire, a live 30-minute call-in radio program that you can call in a Bible question and speak directly to Patrick Donahue and expect in return only a Bible answer. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.